Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, and sitting across from me is
Muggy on Mike. Muggy on Mike. This is my new moniker.
New moniker.
Moniker, money guy.
Well, it's kind of appropriate, folks, because this morning we're discussing the fiscal cliff.
That's good. You got it. Muggy on rim, fiscal cliff.
I can read you now, Mike.
Yeah, that's right.
We're talking particularly about the politics of the fiscal cliff. And we're going to go into a little bit of background. Neither one of us are economists. We'll have an economist on the next couple of weeks.
We're not economists, but we recognize political math when we see it.
Yeah, we do that. So why are we reaching a fiscal cliff? What happened? Why are we here? Well, it goes back to 2011. And remember, we did a program, or you probably don't remember, we did two programs, A Manufactured Crisis and A Bitter Pill to Swallow, in July and August of 2011. And they were about not the fiscal cliff back then, but the what would you call it, Mike? The debt ceiling crisis, the artificial crisis of the debt ceiling crisis.
Right.
And at that time, the Republicans pushed the debt ceiling, which had been something where you play little games around, and basically you appropriate the money, and then you cap it with the amount of money that can be borrowed among the amount appropriation that you don't collect. And there had been some gaming about this, but the Republicans decided that they would force the United States government and our economy into default if we wouldn't do it their way. And they controlled the House of Representatives, but they didn't control the Senate, and they didn't control the presidency, so they couldn't get their way through the normal process of government and compromise, like the House passes one version of the bill, the Senate passes a little more democratic version, and then you go into conference and you cut the difference. I mean, that's how it's always been done. They decided to create a crisis. They got
the debt ceiling.
They got the debt ceiling, but they also pushed the United States into a situation where it would default. Standard & Poor's downgraded our credit rating. It could have been a lot worse. I mean, the Dow Jones lost 635 points.
Yeah.
They did all this, but it didn't work. It didn't come out as badly as you would have thought, because the United States is basically a strong economy.
Well, plus the world knew, and the banks knew, and the rating agencies knew that there was a Senate and a president that was sane, and there was only one insane political party.
Right, and what the last crisis did was to set up the fiscal cliff crisis now, and the fiscal cliff is a situation when, I think it's January 1st, right?
Yeah, that's right.
If you don't solve it, then automatic tax increases will go in, or at least we'll be returning to the pre-Bush tax rates, right?
Right.
For everybody, right. Not just for the top couple of percent,
including
for everybody.
Dividends.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is there will be spending cuts,
right?
And they're harsh spending
cuts.
Huge
cuts in defense.
Huge cuts in defense, but huge cuts in all kinds of programs that benefit the American people.
Yeah, one other thing I want to do before it's over, we want to talk about how Arizona is specifically impacted.
Okay.
And hence my Muggy on Rim comment. Because if they allow it to go over the fiscal cliff, then there's going to be and of course, kids and old people get hurt the most, and we'll talk about exactly the program. Unlike the Republicans, we'll talk about exactly the programs that will be targeted, like meals for old people. But
let's talk a couple of definitions. The deficit is the difference, because we're not economists either, folks. The deficit is the difference between the amount of money being collected in taxes and the amount of money being spent.
We're doing the difference between deficit and debt.
And debt.
Right.
Debt is the accumulation of the deficits over the time, and that was been used, I think, Mike, really to scare people into not thinking rationally about either the deficit or the debt.
Right.
It's used as a tool to accomplish cutting back of social programs. And I think you'll find, folks, when if you listen to us, that the social programs that seem like they just affect somebody else are going to affect you, your family, your grandparents, your friends. Let's see, one other term. So we define the deficit and the debt. You're going to hear a lot of talk about sequestration. You know, when I encountered sequestration when I was on a jury and we were sequestered.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was the jury chairing the jury, and we were hung 11 to 1.
Is that right?
And one for dismissal, and they were about to sequester us for the weekend. And a woman who had not listened to any of the testimony, and there are always these people out there, not listened to any of the testimony, said, "Oh, my gosh, I've got a date Saturday. We're going to sequester us over the weekend." She said, "I changed my vote."
Yeah, forget about this guy's life. I'm
and I
here.
Said, no, you can't do that. This guy's life is at stake, all this stuff. All right. Sequestration, that's what it meant. Sequestration is the holding of property in a dispute by a court while the ownership gets resolved. Right. That's where the term starts. Back in 1985, they started a congressional version of that and of sequestration, which is a way of holding the overall economic spending into one package rather than before that. It was all separate bills. You know, right. We spend a little money here. We get a little money there. So those are the terms, sequestration, the deficit, and the debt. Most people don't know it. The deficit has been going down for about 3 years now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Even if you don't do anything.
You can't get that reported. You know, we can get every wacko Republican position reported dutifully by the political reporters. And they know that this is crazy, and yet they report it, as we talked about a little bit before the show, because they, you know, they have to present both sides for some reason. You know what, this is, what's the name of the show? Oh yeah, Democratic Perspective. We don't have to present both sides. We want to say that according to the CNN poll, most Americans, like most of the people in this room, blame the Republicans.
They gamed the system, and they were willing to cause a lot of damage to the United States in order to win a point back in 2011, and now it's come time to pay the piper, and we're now in a second crisis. Both these crises are totally artificial. They're totally unnecessary.
Exactly.
The results of you know, just hardball politics gone amok.
Well, the polarization is we've talked about for a long time, and certainly other people have. The polarization and the going against has been the American system of compromise for the last 200 years. Geithner said on the radio and the TV talk shows yesterday, Geithner says, blame the GOP for the fiscal cliff. Now, I'm assuming that people would have to be in a cave not to have heard the term fiscal cliff, which is actually kind of a slope. If it happens on January 1st, and they still have months to resolve things, and I think that's part of the problem.
That's a good point, Mike. The fiscal cliff is not really a fiscal cliff. It's really, like as Mike said, it's a slope. There's just lots of things you can do over the 6 months after it happens.
Right.
It's not really like if you don't do it by January 1st. Doing it by January 1st would be a very, very good thing. But if you don't do it, there's ways to limp through the complexities of the next few months. Where do we want to go from here, Mike? You want to talk about what the impact in Arizona? Did you want to talk about that? Or?
Well, you know, I want to hammer Republicans a little more here. I'm looking at a Michael Gumwald article that I'm going to quote from.
But they accuse him of being a partisan, don't they?
But that's fine unless he's right. You know, you can accuse him unless he's correct. In that case, he said this, and that's the other thing, and I've been saying this too. I said this thing about things like ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. I'm going to say this about fiscal cliff negotiations. And this isn't just the difference between – this isn't a difference in viewing things. This isn't a different way to look at things. When you're a Republican and you campaign – on Medicare cuts. You're blaming Obama during the campaign for cutting Medicare, and yet you're demanding bigger Medicare cuts to balance the budget.
Right. I mean, and they did this in 2010.
You can't play both of that.
The Obama's proposals for cutting Medicare are cutting payments to the hospitals that the hospitals have agreed to, because they're going to get more insurance payment, because Obamacare, if you want to call it that, or the Affordable Care Act, will extend coverage to more people. So it's sort of like Walmart's amount of volume. That's what those cuts are about. But they ran on it in 2010, and they ran on it again when they're actually planning to cut real Medicare benefits.
Right, and I mean, they're using that. Boehner, the House Speaker Boehner, is using this as the Democrats won't agree to deeper Medicare cuts, and therefore we can't come to a deal.
Right. And the Tea Party ran in 2010 on two basic planks: to reduce spending. Now, generally when you're in a recession, pretty much everybody from the moderate right to the moderate left to the, you know, far left and far right agreed that in a recession you increase spending. Right? Because that stimulates the economy. Now, the way you normally do that is you cut the interest rate. So the economy slows, you increase the cut the interest rates to increase spending to stimulate the economy. When the economy gets overheated, you raise interest rates, and that slows the economy down to a rate that will control inflation. But what happened here is what they call reaching the lower bond. In other words, they basically cut interest rates about as far as they could cut them. And so there was no place further to go. And when you get in that situation, you have to stimulate the economy, because the private sector has been knocked out by the collapse of the economy with public spending.
Right. And we want to talk a minute before, I want to get back to the Greenwald article, but I do want to talk about the impact in Arizona. If the fiscal cliff failure happens in 2013, we lose $14 million, what we used to call in-lieu taxes, for those school districts that collect money from the federal government in lieu of collecting money from military reservations, all sorts of federal land that's within their district. I remember
basically the federal government compensates the states and local districts when you have people who are not paying taxes, like there's a military base or there's a reservation, then it gives you some money to help support your local spending, your state spending.
Impact Aid Program, I believe it's called. Yeah. We're going to lose almost $10 million in Head Start. You know, like I say, always impacted. We're going to lose $1.2 million in senior nutrition programs. We're going to lose $1.7 million in now this in Arizona. This is all going to veterans in what they call the Workforce Investment Act. And that was for upgrading the skills of workers. Actually, I work with this a little bit. In Arizona, they decided to put most of this, or all of it, toward veterans, except for the $1.2 million that goes to high school dropouts, to try to get them back in school and get them trained.
All of these things build a stronger overall society by the people who are doing well, helping people who need to get grounded so that they can participate better in the economy and in American public life. And high school dropouts are in trouble from the beginning economically. And so there are programs to help them. This is not a terrible thing. Again, the Tea Party plank is, you know, reduce spending no matter what. We don't care what effect it has. Reducing spending will solve all our problems.
Starve
and
the
reduce
beast.
Regulation.
Starve
regulations
the beast.
Are destroying the country, and that's why we're this in trouble. And the interesting thing about that is they won in 2010 with those two planks.
That's right.
When what had happened was, over the whole course of the Bush administration, and I'm afraid to say part of the Clinton administration, they had cut regulation. And we got into the crisis because they had cut regulations, and they weren't regulating huge areas of the economy that had grown over a decade much larger, you know.
Yeah. No. For credibility purposes, Democrats' hands are never clean. I can be partisan today, but I can't be partisan because the left in the United States are saints. Believe me, they all sorts of things. But it is good to see, for those lefties out there, that the administration, through Timothy Geithner, seems to be finally negotiating in real negotiations and not just rolling over. That Geithner is drawing lines in the sand that Timothy, that maybe the Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner says he he blames the fall off the cliff squarely on the Republicans if the year comes to an end without a deal regarding the fiscal cliff. And he was asked on Fox News if he could promise that the fiscal cliff would not be reached. Geithner said he'll guarantee nothing. I can't promise that. That's a decision that's in the hands of the Republicans that are now opposing increases in tax rates.
So last time Democrats faulted the Obama administration because it was very, very rational. It went to right near where they thought the Republican position was going to be, and they moved the Democratic marker there before the thing started. This time, they've made a proposal, and it's the proposal the president ran on. And there are a couple of different ways, but his opening offers is $1.6 trillion in additional revenue over the next decade. Spending cuts of $400 billion. And Senator Hatch, I see, called that bait and switch. But it's actually the platform he ran on. It's the proposal he issued in 2013. So this time they've started off the negotiation with what Democrats think would actually work. The numbers are large. And if you take the $1 trillion number, for example, where's this money going to come from? Well, the president, the Democrats have spelled it out. They want to raise the top two rates, 33% and 35%, to 36% and 39%. That's on income taxes. They want to raise the dividend rate from 15% to ordinary rates. Right now, we tax, if you go out and work, you're taxed higher on that than someone sitting collecting interest or any kind of bonds. That's why someone like Governor Romney paid almost no taxes. He paid lower taxes than you did because he's getting all of his money from investments, and investments are only taxed at 15%, and he's paying even less than that.
Right.
Raising capital gains tax from 15% to 20%. Reinstate some limits on itemized deduction. So the figures are there. It comes up not actually to a trillion on one set of things. It comes up to $968 billion. But he's put it out there. Now, what's the Republican reaction, Mike?
Yeah, well, they're talking about bait and switch, and that he's not being specific.
I noticed that Paul Krugman calls it the big budget mumble. Right. Yeah. So he puts out the figures, and suddenly they say, hey, what us? We're not going to put out any figures. And why aren't they going to put out figures, Mike?
Well, because they'll be hammered for it.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want, there's nothing to shoot at. It's something about politics, I think, Steve.
Why didn't Romney release his tax form? Well, he couldn't, right? Why didn't the Romney-Ryan budget explain where all the cuts were coming from? They don't dare explain the cuts, where the cuts are actually coming from, because if they do, you're not going to like it. And so they'd use the flim flam. They wave their hands around. So now they're doing the same thing with the fiscal cliff. Obama's put a proposal out there, which I'm sure they would complain if he didn't put a proposal out
Which has been out there since February, by the way.
Yeah.
So we have plenty of time to study it.
The figures are there. You can argue it, but it's been reviewed by many of the tax reviewing organizations and budgetary groups, and it's there. Now, you may disagree with it or agree with it, but it's a proposal. And I think I guess Mitch McConnell is the first guy to even hint what Republicans want. We don't know quite what this means, but they want to raise the Medicare eligibility age. They want to increase premiums on high income beneficiaries, and they want to change the way the inflation adjustment is done for Social Security. I don't think you folks, if you're on Social Security out there, see huge increases in your Social Security. They want to set up a mathematical mechanism that'll see that you get less increase every year. Raising the Medicare age will save $113 billion over the next decade. And the reason is most people who, when they retire at 65, 66, actually have lower health costs. The Medicare health costs are highest on the oldest folks on Medicare, and they're highest in the last year of life. That's where the money is largely being spent. What else, Mike?
I just want to say that, to repeat, that the deficit is shrinking as the economy improves, even lackluster as it is. The deficit is shrinking.
That's right. Now, lackluster, it's the deficit is going down.
Now it's not shrinking fast enough. Something's got to be done. I'm going along with that. But it's a simple fact that the fiscal cliff was created in response to the Republican threats to shut down the government, to default on our obligations. Excuse me, not shut down the government, to default on our obligations. So they came up with this plan about huge defense cuts and tax increases. Say, okay, we'll do something by then.
They were deadlocked then, and they're deadlocked now.
The press can't figure out how to put those things together. That we have a fiscal cliff in response to the Republican irresponsibility to default on America, to ruin the American economy, and you know, because then it sounds like they're taking sides.
It is artificial, folks. If you don't believe us, take a look, research anything, and you'll find that both the debt ceiling crisis and the fiscal cliff are artificial crises. And they thought that by setting up this crisis now, that would force people to solve it. Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. But to put us over and over in these situations, the Republicans during the election claimed that the increase increase in jobs was artificial. And now they revised the figure, and it's 2.1% higher.
Right.
So it's actually better than then. But the fiscal cliff, this process, is injuring the American economy now.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's creating some uncertainty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, words matter. A wonderful thing. I mean, that when Boehner comes out in the morning and says he's flabbergasted and we are nowhere, and the market goes down 60 points, and then Geithner comes out in the afternoon and says we're making progress, and the market goes up 60 points. It's that simple. I mean, it's that direct. That what they say and what they do matter. Now, I'm not going to say that if they reach a deal, then everything, we're going to slide on to 2013, and the market's going to go up to 15,000, and all our retirement plans, or your retirement plans, are going to, you know, be fat, and everybody's going to be happy. But the sooner we get this resolved, the sooner we can concentrate on the real economy.
Don't you think the Republicans, when they did this, thought they were going to win really big this year? They didn't think they would lose every Senate seat except for one that was up for election. They didn't think President Obama was going to be reelected by, it's not a huge amount of votes, 4 million votes. They didn't think this would happen. They thought they would have Romney in there. And then suddenly I think the big crisis would be smoothed over just so they could get on with government.
Let me talk for a minute about the GOP's defiance of reality. The reality bubble created by the right wing media and the party's own defiance of reality, the denial of climate science, the stimulus denunciations. You can hear this. You hear this on every restaurant about how ineffective the stimulus was when it was. We can name groups and people here for the rest of the day who've been helped by the stimulus and saved by the stimulus. It's that simple. The Medicare cuts, the denunciations of the Medicare cuts and government health care.
They're planning even greater Medicare debts. But the Republicans want to cut benefits in Medicare and Social Security. And what happened with affordable care is it extended Medicare, extended the problems of Medicare from being resolved for a longer time. And there has to be a long-term solution. We're not saying there doesn't.
And the biggest one, that tax cuts will somehow reduce the debt.
Yeah, that's a great one. It's never proved true. Every single time they tried it, year after year, it has never, ever worked. So, cutting taxes does not increase
I don't
taxes.
Like comparing the national budget or the finances of the whole country to personal finance. It doesn't work. However, has it ever worked that if you have less revenue, you're going to have more money in the bank? No, it's that denial of reality that they seem to be able to do and that the press delivers without any compunction.
And they did it with the last election. They really believed, apparently, the Romney and Ryan campaign really believed they were going to win despite all the polls and stuff. And it's sort of scary, but the polls have gotten better and better, and there are people who are right on the numbers the whole time. And they didn't really think they could lose. They really didn't think they could lose, and I think that drove a lot of their politics. I'm not sure how much longer people are going to believe that tax cuts are the solution to everything. I think if people – there are bad government regulations, and nothing human beings does is 100% and perfect.
Right.
But American business is not being destroyed because they can't pollute the air like they'd like to. You know, as a business, you'd like to externalize your costs. So you have a coal fire plant. You don't want to scrub the air before you release the products of combustion. But if you don't pick up the tab, then taxpayers do. So what we try to do is shift some of the burden to the people who are doing the pollution. It's not burdensome regulation. It just makes sense.
To switch a little bit, I want to talk about poll numbers. 70%, 77% of the public believe that the fiscal cliff, especially the way it's been described, will harm them permanently. We've talked about it being a fiscal slope, and that there is, and nobody is talking, or very few people are talking about, as you just said, the time that you have, we still have, to do things after the fiscal cliff is reached and passed. But 77% of people feel that it's going to, and literally, if just reading some of the ways it's going to impact Arizona. Maybe that number isn't too far off, that 70% of people will be.
I think that going off the cliff is not a positive thing. I know that there are Democrats who this time say, well, look, we're not going to compromise like the last few times. We want a real deal that we can live with out of our negotiation. It's not that the president is saying he's not going to compromise. He's going to compromise. But starting out with the other guy's position and then compromising even further to the right didn't work well.
I'm reading every other day about how Obama's ready to compromise on Social Security and Medicare. In other words, he's putting out this stuff. It's coming from somewhere. And yet the Boehner is still saying there's nothing coming from the White House.
So we're going to bring in economists on the program. Mike and I have focused on the politics of the deficit cliff, and we'll bring some economists in to help explain all the details of what's going on and what the figures
well,
are.
Well, I'm hoping that we don't have to bring any squat in because it'll go away. They'll cut a deal, some grand bargain, and all the other things they've been talking about since the election, and that this will go away. And by this time next month, we'll say fiscal what? You know, people, this is American. You know, what did Gore Vidal, the USA, United States of Amnesia, we can't remember anything. If they solve it tomorrow, by this time next month, we won't even remember what fiscal cliff was.
What did Yogi Berra say? He said, the problem with predictions is you never know what's going to happen.
When we get to start, when we're quoting sports figures now, then we sound like Mike Tabak, and I'm not sure that we can go, you know, there.
All of our programs are on our website, folks. The programs I talked to you when we talked about the debt ceiling are off of the side. You can't see them in our list of programs because we've been doing this for a year and a half, and the program's only so long. But do a search on the website. You'll find what we talked about when we talked about the debt ceiling crisis. We're going to keep on economics.
VVID.org. And Jim, sorry, I stepped on you. Keep on economics. You can find economics and everything else at VVID.org.
I don't know how you did that because you're on the other side of the table.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
go to the website, folks. All the stuff, all the podcasts are there. You can go on iTunes and get the podcast directly. Contact us.
Good night, Steve.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.